It's a funny thing to read the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments, on Thanksgiving. Perhaps something about gratitude might be more fitting. Perhaps Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Or perhaps something that throws in a little bit about the harvest, maybe 2 Corinthians. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. And if that's not a Thanksgiving reading, I don't know what is. Instead we get, you shall have no other gods before me. Don't make idols, don't murder, don't covet. We get a laundry list of do's and don'ts. And historically, these are the big ones. Follow these, or else. We're consciously or subconsciously told. And we've carried them with us for thousands of years, big imposing laws that are used to condemn. And it's easy to see why. In our first part of the reading from chapter 19, God says, now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the people. Do what I say, and you'll be my people. There seems to be the subtle, or perhaps not so subtle, implication of, but don't do what I say, and you won't be my people anymore. But this isn't how it all ends up working out, and that's my beef with this reading. Throughout Scripture, it seems that despite this line, the opposite always seems to be true. We see it again and again. It's not follow my rules, and you'll be my people. But rather, it always seems to be, you're my people. Please, follow my rules. After God gives the law, their end of the covenant to keep that they might be treasured people, the people immediately break it. They build a golden calf for worship. Moses is furious. He breaks the tablets the laws were written on. Is this a sign of the broken covenant? Is this the end of the people of Israel's favor? No, I'll just make another, God says. Time and again, the people break the covenant. Time and again, the people mess up. And yes, there are consequences, but are they still God's chosen people? You bet they are. Again and again, we see that the requirement is not on the people to act first. And that's my beef with this passage. It says that the people act first, keep my covenant, and then God responds. Then you shall be my treasured people. But the Scripture narrative always flips that around. God is the prime mover. God acts first. God's love happens before anything the people do or don't do. You shall be my chosen people. That comes first. They've already, at this point, been chosen for 400 years. You can't convince me that only now is God deciding to have them be an elect people, and that such an election is dependent upon following this new law. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all chosen, all patriarchs of a chosen people, God always had their backs. Just like Joseph, just like the people enslaved in Egypt, God's love comes first. You're my people. I'll free you from slavery. I'll bring you out of Egypt. God acts first. We act in response. I'll bring you out of Egypt. Now here's some laws for you to keep. God acts first. This is actually a pretty good definition of grace, by the way. If you ever wonder what grace means, what grace is, at the heart of it, I think it's this. Saying it's forgiveness is a little too simple. Grace is that God goes first. That's grace. The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, all the laws and rules, in fact, that come next, they are the people's opportunity to respond. And in that way, this passage is all about gratitude. It's all about responding to grace. The people have been chosen. They have been brought out of slavery. They have been promised a home. Following the laws? Well, they do that in response to everything. It's their opportunity for gratitude. We've lost that idea. Or perhaps that idea is counter to something deep within human nature. We cannot distinguish grace, what has been gifted, what has fallen into our laps, from what we're entitled to, or from what we think we've earned. There's an experiment done at UC Berkeley, the rigged monopoly experiment. Has anyone heard of this? Few people have. They bring two strangers into a room together, and just a flip of a coin, one sits in one seat and the other sits in the other seat. In one of those seats, the rules are standard monopoly rules. And in the other seat, you get more money, you get to move more often, you get, every time you pass go, you get additional money, more money than the other player. So the game is entirely rigged in this one person's favor. And they set up cameras. And you could watch as this, every time this person who had it rigged in their favor, and who knew it was rigged, because they're talking, hey, look at all this money I have that you don't have. They knew it was rigged. They start getting cocky and arrogant and aggressive and pounding the table and moving their pieces. And at the end of the game, when they asked, well, how come you won? They said it was because of their better strategy. They did. They said, oh, because I had better strategy. I knew when to purchase and when not to purchase. Even though they knew it was rigged, even though it was very blatant, the game was rigged in their favor. We struggle knowing what is gift. We struggle knowing what is grace. We struggle knowing what has fallen into our laps, and we turn it into an ego thing about us deserving it. We've earned it. That's mine. These days I've been thinking about the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms and about the notwithstanding clause. Been on my mind. It's been a pretty cruddy week, geopolitics-wise. This has been the one that's really been haunting me, actually. Doesn't get as much play as some of the other things, but this is the piece that's been really haunting me this week. Because I think about how much I have to be grateful for. Freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, freedom of association. These I am grateful for. And they're a hallmark of democracy. Having them ensconced in the charter creates law outside the whims of any government or any population. It's a protection from tyranny. Many people have died in history to get constitutional law, and I'm grateful for that because I have not had to. I don't need to worry about my freedoms in this regard. They are protected. Even if a government is elected that disagrees with my religion or disagrees with any association I might keep, so long as those don't harm others, I am protected beyond the whims of that government, beyond the whims of whatever majority or plurality elected them to power. But in the past 2 months, two separate governments have threatened to use the notwithstanding clause. And that's the clause which allows governments to suspend the rights of the charter, some of the rights. In Ontario, though, the need was quickly erased. But more frightfully in Quebec, with the new government threatening to use it in order to fire vulnerable minorities, in order to forcibly remove people from minority ethnicities from the province. A clause that allows governments to suspend such rights could potentially water down the whole document. I know it used to be done regularly, but it's not. It's not anymore. If governments begin to get the idea that it's okay to not have their powers limited by the charter, well, gosh, I wonder what's going to happen. We like to sit pretty high on our horse over the United States these days, but the floodgates are potentially about to be opened to a tyranny of the plurality or a tyranny of the majority. Exactly the sort of thing the charter or any constitution is to protect us from. I have so much to be grateful for. And those are grace. I never did anything for them. I was simply born to them, which I did not choose, as far as I'm aware. That is far and away grace. It seems to me that I have, that we all have, a responsibility to respond to such grace, not in the rejection of grace, but in the embrace of it, not in the limitation of grace, but in the expansion of it. We are a fortunate people in this way. Now, I'm not a nationalist by any means, and there is a lot that could be better, but I am grateful for the freedoms that I do have in Canada. But we're coming to see that Thanksgiving isn't just about being grateful. It's about responding as well. Thanks be to God. Amen.